I was so excited when my first job out of seminary was to be the chaplain of an Episcopal school. I could not wait to combine my callings to teaching and being with young people and the sacraments of the church. I pictured meals that were communions and prayers weaving in and out of every conversation. I was so naive. I couldn't tell what made the school Episcopal at all, to tell you the truth. Every day, though, I discovered, we said this one prayer at the end of a daily all-school assembly. At the end of announcements and presentations, we all stood up together and sort of did the submissive, fold your hands, bow your heads. And then we said this prayer all together. We called it the Academy Prayer. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right. It's the first half of the prayer that we just prayed. It's our prayer for this week, the collect of the day, we call it. That was the shred of Episcopal identity. I knew I was doomed. These were teenagers, 7th through 12th graders. And the only thing from the prayer book that I could give them every day was to reinforce their parents. Think the right thing, do the right thing. They were wired developmentally not to. I thought of all the jewels to glean from our tradition. We were reinforcing those constraints, the constraints of school rather than the liberation of education. I myself was a teenager who worked for her father. My dad owned his own business, and by the time I was a senior in college, I was working about half-time for him and going to school full-time to finish my degree. Many of you know, whether you've been a boss's kid or worked for a boss who had a boss's kid, that kid often faces higher expectations and less praise. If I came late, or left early, that said something about the fairness of the boss. And so, I saw how this man was very stern, both at home and at work. I saw how there was fear in the eyes of his employees, much as the fear in the eyes of his daughter. But I had secret knowledge of this boss. I had secret knowledge of this boss who was also a father, a daddy, in fact. A daddy who, when at home with his daughters, watching The Little Mermaid, cried. Because when Ariel, that famous mermaid, falls in love with Eric, the human prince, her father, also the boss, by the way, King Triton of the ocean, decides to use his power to give her the legs that she so longs for so that she can be with her prince once and for all. And when he sends the power to that mermaid fin and turns those mermaid fins to legs, she turns to him and says, "I love you, Daddy." And I looked over at this stern and arbitrary boss with tears coming down his face. And that was an image that I could always have, so that when he would say things like, "A job worth doing is worth doing well," or, "We do that because it's the right thing to do, Sarah." When he was arbitrary and stern, which was often, I also knew that he had a pure heart, full of love. I think the gospel for today can feel like working for a stern and arbitrary boss. It's a list of things that we must do if we are to be disciples. And that list started last week, and it will continue next week. This portion of the Gospel of Luke is a litany of demands placed upon us as followers of Jesus and people of God. This week, particularly, it's about giving away our money and being ready 24/7 for the return of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, But I don't think you even have to be moving across the country, changing jobs and everything else in your life to feel a little exhausted by the demands being placed on us week after week this summer. I come on Sunday to hear something like, "I made you, I love you, go in peace." I come to hear something like, "Worry for nothing." Life itself is exhausting. No matter what life you have, no matter what those demands are, we are tired. And to come and hear more demands, it's not always as comforting as we might have hoped. But before we see only the constraints of our boss, arbitrary and stern, might we also consider that we are daughters and sons? Might we also have secret knowledge of this one who makes such great demands? Is this master not also the one who gave a baby to Abraham and Sarah? Is this master not also the one who pays the last worker the same as the first? Who weeps for the suffering, not from a corner office, but on the ground, with us, incarnate first in Christ and now in us? Is this master the one from our story who turns the tables on his slaves and feeds and serves them? We are workers, you and I. We are the laborers that God calls to build a kingdom. But the thing is, we're called to build it together with God. We are co-creators, not passive observers of the kingdom. Thanks to being made and saved and called and equipped and fueled by the Spirit, we work for the big boss, and we are daughters and sons of that boss. So the expectations we have are very high, and it can feel like a lot to ask. But we know the heart of our Heavenly Father and the love of our Mother in God. And you and I know that when we feel passionately loved and love back in that same way, there's very little we won't do and almost nothing too much to ask. The commentators on this scripture pose the question often, why start all of this reading with, "Do not be afraid"? What were the first hearers afraid of? But to me, it's obvious. Who wouldn't be afraid to hear Jesus' demands? The cost of discipleship, which is high. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, no matter who your earthly father is, whether he cried at the Little Mermaid or not, our Heavenly Father in his Son, Jesus, is the Good Shepherd. And we are asked these things not to make the boss look good, but because God wants us to help renew the earth, to feed one more person, to offer cups of cold water. We are reaching for what we all dream of, reconciliation and abundance and grace. And that starts with each one of us. It starts in us, in the treasure we store here. That's why Jesus mentions it the way he does. In our spiritual watchfulness, being prepared to be called again and again, and in being prepared to receive the gift of being called. So, as the daughters and sons of this tender-hearted Father who asks an awful lot, let us build the kingdom together that is our inheritance, with the courage to think and do always those things that are right. Amen. Amen.